Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And welcome to the program today. We're going to get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray you bless the program and use it for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ that are searching. Encourage believers in their walk with you, Lord. And above all, help us to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you today. And just want to let you know, of course, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We'll have more information about that at the end of the program, but to certainly invite you to come out and visit us. We're located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's Northern Summit County, right midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 cross. In fact, you can see the toll booths for the interstate, for the turnpike, right outside the meeting room windows where we normally meet. So we'd love to have you come out and visit us. And of course, if you're looking for a church where the Bible is preached, certainly invite you to come out as well. Currently, right now, I just give you an overview. Every Friday night, so tonight, actually, a great time to visit if you ever wanted to visit. We have our Friday night Bible study. Our Friday night Bible study is an informal Bible study, and where you bring the questions, and we just go through the Bible together and find the answers and see what God has to say about what's happening. It's actually the format that gave birth to the radio program initially some years ago, almost 13 and a half years ago, I think, something like that. But I think it'd be a blessing. It's informal. We've got refreshments and things, and we just sit around fellowship and enjoy. Going through the Bible together. So if you're interested in that, have questions, why don't you come out and visit us at our Friday night Bible study tonight. It starts at 7 o'clock. We officially go till 9. Sometimes people have to leave a little earlier. Sometimes people stay around a good bit later. So whatever the case is. And then on Sunday, we meet as well, same location, the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road on Sunday morning. At 10 o'clock, we're slow getting started, but we have a Bible study, and we're currently looking at some texts that people misinterpret dealing with Calvinism and refuting the Calvinistic position there. And just to make you clear on it, I am not a Calvinist. I am not an Arminianist, which is considered usually the opposite of a Calvinist. I'm a Biblicist. It's not a fault, or I should say the difference between Calvinism and Arminianism, people think you have to be somewhere on this scale, but that's a false dichotomy. It's not one of those two or closer to one or the other, but it's more, if you picture a triangle with the biblical position being at the absolute top, at the peak, and then as you drop down away from the biblical position and towards the Calvinist or the Arminian position, you're dropping down into positions that were developed by men in order to understand difficult passages of the Bible. And so we are we're Biblicists. We have a biblical position. It basically allows for free will. You can choose whether or not to be saved. That would mark, sometimes in some circle, mark you as an Arminian. And we also believe in eternal security, which in some circles marks you as a Calvinist. So I'm not an Arminian Calvinist, nor a Calvinistic Arminian. I'm a Biblicist, the biblical position, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's your choice. And then Jesus said that he gives us eternal life and we'll never perish. and there's your eternal security. Well, we were studying that right now on Sunday morning during the 10 o'clock hour. 11 o'clock hour is our morning service. I'm currently preaching through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And I believe this Sunday morning, I'll be at the portion of chapter 4, where it talks about some of the strongest teaching on the catching away of the believers, and also a portion there where we get the term rapture. That's coming up this Sunday morning. And then on Sunday nights, during our 6 o'clock service, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And so I think it'd be a blessing for you. Well, I want to get into a couple of things here today. I don't know if you had a chance to hear the president's speech, the State of the Union speech this past Tuesday. Knocked it out of the park as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I try to listen to all the speeches. I think I heard, unless there was something coming up where I was not physically able to do it, I heard just about all of President Obama's speeches, all of President George W. Bush's speeches, and partly because I was out of the country, I didn't hear too many of Bill Clinton's speeches, but I did hear some of them, and I remember George W. Bush's, or H.W. Bush's, some of his, and President Ronald Reagan's State of the Union speeches. I've been basically listening to State of the Union speeches since at least the Reagan years. And probably heard some other ones going back maybe as far as Nixon, but the ones I mostly remember has been since the Reagan years. And I think it's one of the better ones. It's supposed to be the State of the Union. And I think one of the things that President Trump should have said was the State of the Union, as far as the State of the Union goes, America's becoming great again. To quote his campaign thing from his first election, Make America Great Again. Stock market's up, unemployment's down, record employment numbers across the board, wages are up. Middle class, despite what you're hearing on some of the news media, middle class is seeing some of the biggest increases in wages. People are off welfare and just tremendous things happening. It's close to 200 judges that President Trump has been able to appoint. I saw one figure. It said about a quarter of all federal judges are now President Trump's appointments. Just this past week, I believe he nominated 4 more, and they're not all going to be perfect, that's for sure, and I know that, but they're, generally speaking, he's trying to pick judges that are constitutionalists, people who interpret the Constitution to mean what it says, and that it says what it means, not to try to read into it as a living document, like Bill Clinton's choices were, like President Obama's choices were. He's trying to choose people who interpret it to mean what it means. And, kind of like what we use in interpreting the Bible, where we say, if the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. And then, of course, we followed that by Wednesday with the vote in the Senate, the vote of sanity, ending the impeachment farce, and again acquitting the president. I remind you that our nation's law is built upon the principle that everyone is innocent until proven guilty. The House made the charge that the president was guilty, and they never really gave us crimes. They just gave us things that they said that they didn't like, but they were not really crimes. And they brought the charges to the Senate. The Senate had the trial. The Senate acquitted President Trump, so he is innocent of the charges. And hopefully, prayerfully, now we can go on to doing things that we should be doing as a nation, and that's some things I'm going to get to. Then, of course, on Thursday, we had the president's appearance at the National Prayer Breakfast, and then a statement yesterday dealing with this whole impeachment fiasco, and I'm not going to go into all of that. But just talking about what's been happening, pray for our country. It's been a good week, I believe, but you know, there's people out there who, no matter what happens, they're just simply not going to be happy with any of it. And I had a thing posted on my Facebook page earlier about, I think I posted on February 3rd, about a guy who's the name, his name's Rob Rice or Rierse, I guess it is R-Y-E-R-S-E. So I guess it would be Rierse. I don't know, Rierse. I'm just going to call him Rob here, and he's a pastor at the Vintage Fellowship Church in Fayetteville, Arkansas, describes himself as an evangelical and a Republican, but let me describe him the way that Paul describes people like him in Acts chapter 20, and verse 28, he says this. He says to some pastors, he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears." And here's what Paul identifies this so-called pastor as, a grievous wolf. And he warned us that people like this. They say, wait a minute, that's a strong thing to say. Well, you know, I had posted this thing on my Facebook page, and by the way, you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And we also have our webpage at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And I had posted this, but then I started doing some digging into this, and I looked up what this guy had to say, and basically he said it's better to vote for a pro-abortion Democrat than to vote for Donald Trump in this year's presidential election. And he had made some comments in regards to, I guess, why, but let me just drop down. I actually looked up his article that was in Time magazine online, and he basically said that President Trump made history last Friday as the first U.S. president to attend the March for Life, and then he talked about the praise that he got from evangelical leaders. And he said Trump's decision to attend was motivated by politics. He wasn't against abortion until he started running for president, and yet he has heard mounting questions raised about the sturdiness of his support among evangelicals, whose backing in 2016 was key to victory. The kerfuffle around Christianity Today's December editorial calling for Trump's removal sparked a reexamination of the durability of that support. Enter March for Life, an opportunity to double down on what Trump knows is the linchpin of his appeal to many religious voters. And he's saying that he only did this for politics, that he really doesn't believe it. And so this is part of his reason why we shouldn't vote for President Trump, and instead we should vote for a Democrat. I did a little more looking into it, and he is a worker with a group called Vote Common Good. And so I did a little digging into Vote Common Good. And Vote Common Good, which he is active with and tours on their buses, got its start, came to a little bit of fame in 2018, where they went around trying to affect the midterm vote elections to help defeat Republican candidates and help get Democrats elected. And where this comes from is a group, Vote Common Good, that basically is funded by George Soros. Does that name ring a bell with anybody? So here's this guy who claims to be a conservative, evangelical Republican pastor who's telling us that it's better to vote for a Democrat. In fact, he says to vote for Trump is to make a deal with the devil that's ultimately more likely to exact greater cost than reward. And then one of the things he gives as an example is the astounding about-face in evangelical support for refugee settlements since Trump took aim at that program. And, well, hey, wait a minute, I'm glad he did, because under the Obama administration, they were bringing in Muslims at the expense of Christian refugees from some of these countries. And I know when we say Christian, we're talking about Christian oftentimes in name only. But if they identified as Christian and not Christian, not Muslim, generally they were shunted to the back of the bus. And they were purposely bringing in these Muslim groups and they're resettling them in areas, oftentimes in areas to try and sway the vote. And you don't think that can happen? Well, there's a representative from a Minneapolis area in Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, who, amongst other things, well, she was a refugee. Amongst other things, she married her brother so he could get some entry into the country without going into all the details there. It was basically a marriage of convenience, and there's a number of things that to support that. Some people try to say, oh, that didn't happen. That's a false. Oh, there's actually, a guy did research on it, and he had the copies of the marriage license and things like that. And anyway, that's a whole other sordid affair we're not going to get into right now. She is there, and she's the one that referred last September 11. She said some people did something, and couldn't find that anything to be worried about. But when President Trump took out the notorious Iranian terrorist General Soleimani, she said, "Oh, we need to avenge that," and all kinds of things. She's a turncoat and a traitor. And but by bringing these people in, the Democrats believe that they'll get more votes. And so this guy, this pastor, that's claiming that voting for Trump and supporting the Republicans is making a deal with the devil, Rob Reiss or whatever his name is, I would contend he's one of the grievous wolves that the Apostle Paul was warning about in Acts chapter 20. And let me just give you some examples here. Vote common good. If you'll notice, it doesn't say vote the Constitution. And as a supposed outreach to Christians, it doesn't even say vote the Bible, which is what I would encourage people to do. Vote your biblical beliefs. This is vote the common good. And the common good, let me give you some statements on what they stand for. The mission of this group, the Vote Common Good, basically is they want to vote with the poor, vulnerable, and forgotten in mind, with religious, racial, and gender minorities, with children and the elderly, the sick, and diversely abled. It's a mouthful. Upholding the God-given dignity of all people, no exceptions. In other words, SOGI laws. They're in favor of SOGI laws. You find that out later on. SOGI being sexual orientation, gender identity. We will vote with peace and safety in mind, and we'll oppose policies and politicians who believe that more weapons and more threats of war will bring peace. I wonder how they would have supported Obama, you know, with his drone strikes. Here's President Trump trying to bring troops home. We will vote with God's creation, the planet, in mind. The oceans, rivers, and streams, the mountains, valleys, and farmland, the atmosphere, the delicate balance of nature and our fellow creatures. In other words, if you oppose global warming, they have to vote against you. And he says, we will vote against policies and politicians who promise special privileges for any religion, including our own. Well, remember Hillary Clinton, who basically had said that that the Christians, the religious right, needs to change their beliefs. That was back in 2016 when she was trying to become president. She basically said, we need to change our beliefs if they don't comport with what they was. Oh, I'm sorry, it was 2015, a speech at the Women in the World Summit. Religious beliefs have to be changed. And in other words, they don't respect our beliefs. And what about Bernie Sanders and a number of Democrats who basically were saying to a I'm going to run out of time and not enough time to cover everything, but basically saying that Christians need not apply for public jobs. There was a individual that was being interviewed, Russell Vogt, President Trump's nominee for the Deputy Director of the Office of Management and Budget. And he had written a piece defending his alma mater, Wheaton College, who had fired a professor for expressing solidarity with Muslims. And he had written, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they've rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned. Sanders got upset with that and said, in my view, the statement made by Mr. Vogt is indefensible, it is hateful, it is Islamophobic, and is an insult to over a billion Muslims throughout the world. And basically, he went on to try, and remember, Sanders is although he's Jewish, he's actually an atheist and a communist, and they kind of go hand in hand. But basically trying to say that that because Vogt did not believe that Jews were going to, or I'm sorry, Muslims were going to heaven, and he even asked him about Jews as well, and that only born-again Christians are going to heaven, he was trying to say he was hateful. I seem to remember someplace in the Bible Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. I think there was something else where Jesus said something to the effect of, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. And then I think I remember the Apostle Paul writing something to the effect of, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible is a very intolerant book, and it presents only one way of salvation. Many of these people on the left believe, and even though the Constitution itself says there's no religious test for whether or not you can have public office, they think that if you hold a fundamental view of the Bible or an evangelical view of the Bible, you do not deserve to have public office. You should not have public office in this country. You need to be silent. And so here's the problem, and we need to watch out for this Vote Common Good. They're getting active again in this election. And there's others like this funded by George Soros and others on the left, and they are trying to make people like you and I out to be intolerant, Islamophobic haters because we simply hold up the word of God. They say it's better to reject a candidate, including President Trump, that supports Israel and supports free speech for Christians. If you haven't read the transcript of President Trump's speech, he said, my administration is also defending religious liberty, and that includes the constitutional right to pray in public schools. In America, we do not punish prayer. We do not tear down crosses. We do not ban symbols of faith. We do not muzzle preachers and pastors. In America, we celebrate faith. We cherish religion. We lift our voices in prayer, and we raise our sights to the glory of God. These people are saying we should have voted for Hillary Clinton, who wanted us to change our religion. They want us to vote for people who have the progressive attitudes and goals that we've seen where Planned Parenthood has been selling and trafficking human organs and from unborn babies. That's funded and defended by the Democrat Party. All the candidates on the Democrat side stand for abortion on demand, no limitations up to the very end. And he's saying it's wrong to support support a candidate that stands against that. They're standing for a party and a group of people that abandon the biblical view of marriage, that want children to be transgendered. They want socialism and open borders and lawless sanctuary cities. All this, I could go on and on. I don't have time, unfortunately, and the hostility towards traditional conservative Christian values. To me, that sounds like the grievous wolves that the Apostle Paul warned about. What's our defense? The Word of God. He told Timothy to search the Scriptures and to go back to the Scriptures. That's the defense against people like this. That's the defense against Vote Common Good. Vote your Bible in the coming primary elections in March and in general election in November. Out of time right now. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.